death, his sacrifice, his body, and his blood. And the church of the first century said they did that every first day of the week. So that's one thing that we're trying to do. We just got through doing that. The next two commands that Jesus gave the apostles, you probably know them already. Jesus himself called them the greatest commandments, well, the greatest than the second greatest. And you find that in Matthew 22, 36 through 40. And then also Mark repeated those, but he called them the most important commandments in Mark 12, 28 through 31. I'll just read those from Mark. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." Now, if you think about those two commandments, some people might be concerned about, well, what happened to the Ten Commandments? And we know that Jesus fulfilled that covenant. But if you think just a little bit about it, the most important commandment covers the first four of the Ten Commandments. The second greatest commandment, love your neighbor as yourself, covers the last six of the Ten Commandments, if you think about it a little bit. So those things are something that I happen to think about, and I think we should think about. Matter of fact, if you go back to Jesus' statement about few find the narrow road to heaven, he said, essentially before that, he said, talking to the apostles, treat everyone as you would like to be treated yourself. For this fulfills all the law and the commandments. And the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. It's Jesus' specific words. So we're thinking about this morning the second greatest or the second most important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. And so everybody says, you know, what does that mean? Love your neighbor yourself. Well, I don't know my neighbors. I only got two. I got one on this side. I got one on that side. What does it really mean? The first thing we have to do is really understand the word love. The love that we have in our, like in the NIV and in the Testament that we have right now is translated from the Greek. And the translators, since they used at least three words in Greek, they were all translated into the same word love. And so that tells love is kind of a multicultural thing here. The two that are the examples, eros, which is romantic or erotic love. Eros was also transmitted into love, the word love. Phileo, which means brotherly love or tribal love or family love. That was also translated as the word love. And the last one is agape. You probably heard people use the word agape. 98% of the translations of the word from the Greek into love in the New Testament that we have agape was the word that was translated as love. So we know agape is not eros, it's not phileo. What is it? If you read the definition of agape in the dictionary, the love of God for mankind, or the benevolent love of Christians or others, altruistic, beneficial love which wills good for others. So essentially, that's kind of a definition of the word agape. One thing that you know, that it's a behavior, it's a choice, but you're supposed to do it obviously with your mind, heart, soul, and strength. Whatever it is, you're supposed to agape people with all that we have. And so let me say that if you think about it just a little bit, I propose that agape is really a decision of a disciple's will, essentially to treat others as I want to be treated. That's a very consistent with what the scripture says. So whatever we're supposed to do, whenever we agape someone, we're supposed to do it with heart, mind, soul, and strength. Now, fortunately, someone, if you read the New Testament, after Jesus defined the two greatest commandments, somebody spoke up and says, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus responded with the parable of the Good Samaritan, if you remember. So, let me kind of read that, because that's our next story. We are trying to figure out, now we understand what love is, so now we're trying to figure out who we're supposed to apply love to and how we're to apply it, how we're to agape people. And this is after Jesus said, he asked the person, which are the two greatest commandments? But the person wanted to justify himself and ask, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Sounds like some of the stuff I read in the news today. A priest happened to be going down the same road. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came and placed his saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came from where the man was. And when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. They put the man on his own donkey and brought him to the inn and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I'll reimburse for any extra expense you may have. Which of these, Jesus asked, do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert replied, the one who showed mercy to him. So the question is now, how do we go about sharing mercy? How would you share mercy with someone? What actually happens when you show mercy? Now, it probably has something to do with my engineering background. I always think about, you know, what caused this and that, what the problem is. So to share mercy with someone, or to show mercy, you essentially put yourself mentally in that person's situation. And you show mercy by treating that person that you would like to be treated in that person's situation. Compassion is the same thing. How do you show compassion? You show compassion by putting yourself mentally in a position of someone else and then treating that person as you would like to be treated. Just as Jesus said, treat everyone the way you would like to be treated, which fulfills the laws and all the laws and the prophets. So that essentially in Matthew 7:12, where you repeat that, it's also known as the golden rule. You've heard about it. Incidentally, that's what we need to be doing in today's society. The thing we need to be doing is telling more people how to get to heaven, giving them directions to heaven, and while we're traveling on the road, we want to encourage people to live by the golden rule. So my point this morning, too, you heard excellent sermons on the Good Samaritan. A couple of other things I think you might want to think about this morning. Again, my engineering approach to things. There may be some things that we can, again, get from Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. The Samaritan walking along the road, I'm sure he passed other people who might have been hungry. They might have wanted a chariot instead of a donkey. They might have they wanted better clothes. They wanted all kinds of things that they thought they might be needed. But in Jesus' parable, the Good Samaritan only helped the person who had been beaten by robbers and left by the side of the road. So what can you infer from that? What did Jesus give to the person who had been beaten by robbers that he didn't give to the other people walking along the road? The Good Samaritan provided for the person who had been beaten and robbed what he could not do for himself. So when we're loving our neighbor, We need to know our neighbor, first of all, and know the people we meet. Your neighbor doesn't have to be the person that lives next door to you. It could be anybody you meet. If we understand what people's needs are, we can provide them what they can't do for themselves. And one of the first things you could do that nobody can do for themselves, we can give everyone respect. You respect them as a person, respect them as a person, a child of God, that God is interested in their soul. Whether they're interested or not, you know God is. So we can respect everyone we meet. The main thing is, when we provide something for people, we provide what they cannot do for themselves. We're traveling down the narrow road. That was the theme of today's lesson, is we have found the narrow road. If you're a baptized disciple of Jesus, who's for forgiveness of sins, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we know how to tell people how to get to heaven, we know how to represent ourselves to people outside the church, we know how to define what the church, what defines a church that belongs to Christ. So as we're traveling, we need to treat others as we want to be treated. One example I've heard is, well, how do I love my neighbor? One of the people I've heard a good sermon mentioned the fact that a lady asked him that question. She said, well, Betty, I hear you're supposedly the best pie maker in the country, in the county. And she said, the thing you could do is bake a pie and take it to your neighbor. And tell your neighbor, and he asked you, why are you doing this? I said, well, I'm supposed to be loving my neighbor, but I have to know my neighbor before I can love my neighbor. In our case, we're talking about I have to agape my neighbor I have to know my neighbor before I can agape my neighbor. So in every situation today, we need to respect people, try to understand where they are, where they're coming from, be ready to answer questions about the way to heaven and the church. Matter of fact, this last two lessons are so straightforward and compact, you can put them on a business card. And before you leave this evening, I've got a bunch of business cards out there with the last two lessons. So take a few and hand them out to people if you want to. I've left a line on there for you to put your name if you want to, or you can just use my email address. So we're in the church, we're traveling down a narrow road trying to encourage each other and help us all get to the heaven. We always offer an opportunity for someone who wants to start on that road to come forward as we sing our song of encouragement. So if you're interested in getting on the narrow road, you're not on the narrow road, please come forward, or you can talk to Alan and myself after services. Thanks.